What's going on, Clipper Nation? This is the only podcast you can stream exclusive to your Zune. It's Locked On Clippers. Part of Locked On NBA Network, baby. It's me, William, the Opinion Uptight.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler. Dude, if we're getting Zune checks, I'm looking for a new apartment right now.
We come at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers news. And boy, howdy, do we have some news for you today.
Yeah, we got a game to preview.
We're going to kick things off with a preview of the upcoming matchup against the Kings.
That will be at 2 p.m. if you're listening to this. Hopefully before the game.
Very bizarre time of day.
Don't even get me started on this game.
Don't. I won't.
Well, because we got to talk about it anyway.
And then we're going to jump into Twitter Tuesday. Every single Monday, I know the timeline is confusing, we ask you guys questions for Twitter Tuesday. If you ever have a point of discussion you want to bring up, please bring it to @LockedOnClips
yep.
or @WillUpdike or @CharlesMockler. And you know, it doesn't even have to be on Monday or Tuesday. Twitter Tuesday is alive in our hearts. All week long. Just send it off. We want to talk. And then we're going to be wrapping things up with a classic shaving segment for all y'all. If you know it, we just kind of open up the drawer, rattle around. What else is going around in Clipper Nation? So let's get into it.
Yes. So the Clippers play the Kings today at 2 p.m. It is the first meeting of the year for these two Pac Division teams. Kind of surprising. So we got some injuries in this game. Bagley is out for the Kings. Patrick Beverley is out for the Clippers. And according to Woj, not our own local beat writers, for some reason they gave Woj this as opposed to the hardworking Clippers beat writers that we have.
You know, Woj needs a scoop from time to time.
Yeah, exactly. He's really hurting for him. He's going to be out.
You got to feed the Wojster.
He's going to be out a few games.
Yeah.
Which I think we kind of expected him to, Patrick Beverley, to be out this game. Right? This game is not a surprise.
When we heard the news that he was having trouble holding a basketball,
Big red flag there.
I assumed he would probably miss a game.
Makes the loss to Utah hurt a little bit more, too, because he was putting his body on the line. This is a very large loss. Since the 18-19 season, the Clippers are 2-7 in games that Pat has not played.
I believe it's actually 2-8 after the Jazz game, isn't it?
All right. Whatever it is, it's 2 and more than 2. Quite a bit more than 2. Right?
Comfortable losing record.
At least 3.5 times more than 2.
Comfortable losing record.
So that against this Kings team, if we're going to kind of just bring it to the pregame, is a tough position to lose your best guard defender at.
That's very true.
You know what I'm saying?
What do you think we're going to need to do well in order to overcome this tragic loss?
I would love... So here's the thing. If you look at the Kings' stats and their team stats, it's a lot of things in the 20s. It's a lot of things in the high teens in terms of ranks. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I don't.
You're saying there's perhaps a reason that they're on this recent slump.
So they're in a 7-game losing streak. They lost to the Wolves that snapped the Wolves' 11-game losing streak. They also didn't have Karl Anthony Towns in that game. They lost to the Suns, which snapped the Suns' 8-game losing streak. They jumped out of a plane into the ocean wearing like a suit made of concrete is what the goddamn Kings have done. They have a -5.6 net rating over these 7 games. We're 3-4 in the last 7 games, but our net rating is still +3.7. I want us to do everything we normally do well and get a blowout in this game.
Wow.
It's possible. But it also is a weird trap game.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think what we need to do well is we can't let the complacency sink us.
Totally.
We got to continue rebounding the ball well.
Absolutely. I mean, we held it down, I feel like, for almost 3 full quarters of that game against Utah. And then
it really
kind of fell apart on that end. But, yeah, I agree. I would like to see a bench bounce back in this one.
I'm okay with that.
We narrowly outscore the Jazz's bench in that loss, 35-41. Assuming Trez is back.
He's not on the injury report. So the only person on the injury report is Bev.
Is Bev, yeah. Can we reasonably suppose Trez tops on 20 to the bench scoring?
I think so. We got to talk about...
It seems pretty reasonable.
It seems their bench is not scary.
Okay.
Defensively.
So... It's interesting because they do have some solid weapons on their bench. Obviously, Trevor Ariza, whose defense isn't what it was for sure. Bogdan Bogdanovic, who has offensively been playing.
I'm always
very
scared
well.
Of Bogdanovich. Any Bogdanovich is scary.
And Bielitsa, who I feel like
it's
a guy who would love to have a game against the Clippers.
Yeah. But I think the bench can go back. We can kind of get, we all kind of know what we need to do well.
Yeah.
We need to kind of impose our will on this game. We have to set the tone. I have no doubt in my mind that Paul George and Kawhi can do that. Because it's kind of got to start with them this game, I think, for it to be a blowout.
Offensively.
A comprehensive win, yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to see them get hot early. They need to get comfortable early. I don't know what the crowd is like on a Tuesday at 2 p.m. in Sacramento. I don't mean that as a slight. I just genuinely don't know what it's going to be like. But not doing that trading buckets thing would be nice.
Yeah, it'd be nice to not hemorrhage a lot of points to this bench.
Yeah, damn straight. So what could go wrong? We need to talk about who's going to start at guard for Beverly.
All right.
Big question mark.
Yeah.
Justin Russo on Twitter said he would like Shamit to start at Fly By Night if you're not following him.
I like it.
We need defense, so part of me, and this is going to sound insane. Mm-hmm. So 2-3-4-5 is Kawhi, PG, Mo, Zoo. One, in the starter role, mm-hmm. Mo, in this scenario, Mo is not in the starter, you know, I think where he plays like 13 minutes and like never comes back type thing.
Yeah.
Try the starter role with Magruder.
At the one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
If Mo is guarding guards,
yeah,
which he's probably going to do in this game, why? I mean, and I'm not saying this is a genius idea, but I don't know if you can't put Lou out there, I don't think, defensively. I know there's going to be Paul George and Kawhi helping him out, but
yeah, I don't know.
It's at least interesting.
I just struggled to see how he would be able to create at a starter level.
Oh, he's not creating at all. This is for defensive purposes.
Okay.
He's initiating, maybe. There are flaws with this. I'm not saying this is a foolproof idea in any way. But maybe we get point Kawhi.
Yeah.
But so Shamit, I like that because I don't want to put Lou out there. Defensively with Hield and Fox, I know Hield is like in some weird fight with the Sacramento Kings front office or vice versa.
Is Walton crazy?
People on Twitter were clamoring for it. If you're wondering why we haven't mentioned Terrence Mann yet, he's on assignment for the G League. So him and Fee are also out.
Yeah, they're ineligible.
Because I would honestly pick Mann if he was available.
I mean, given what we saw earlier in the season, that
he's long. You know what I mean? He can, you know. The defense isn't really there.
I mean, and I don't think the Wong is ready to play starter minutes in any.
But you're saying maybe Shamit is your first choice?
Yeah. And I just think especially if you're like more heavily relying on, you know, point Kawhi.
Yeah.
Paul George has not been passing well.
He's not.
So, anyways, what else could go wrong in this one? Do the Clips fall into the trap of playing down to another team?
They might. I was looking at the stats. There's not a lot of ways for the Kings to surprise us.
Yeah.
There's a slight chance that we get out-volumed from three. They take two more than we do, but also shoot 10% worse from three. So I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
Like, looking at the team stats, comparing them, it's kind of difficult. But I think the classic things can sink the Clippers, which is turnovers, complacency, the trading buckets thing can get out of hand.
Yeah.
Kings have guys who can get hot on starters and bench.
They do. And there's a mix. There's some vets. There's some guys who can kind of run you out. What are some key matchups in this one?
Zoo versus Holmes.
Okay, this one is interesting.
I like this one.
Yeah.
So Trez was sick on Saturday, which Zoo He saw a bunch of minutes. He used them well offensively for sure. I still think he's going to see more minutes than usual in this game. Just because you never know with the flu. Like, totally. It was obvious maybe Trez was at the beginning of the flu stages on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't in the throes of them yet. So I think he might get more minutes. Holmes in the last seven games is averaging 16-9, which is better than his season averages, which is interesting because they haven't won a single game. But Zoo is playing well, and he's got more confidence. So this would be like, if he can build on that last game he had, maybe especially early, and can watch the fouls, it would be, I think we could see a nice, like, give Trez a little more rest. Because I think that hinges on this game, too. Their bench cannot really stop Lou and Trez. So giving Trez as much rest before Doc can be like, play 13 minutes in a row or whatever.
Yeah.
I think is a huge thing. And shout out to Holmes for playing pretty well right now.
Yeah. He's working out great for the Kings.
Yeah. I like this one you got here with some backcourt situations.
So who are we thinking is the primary on-ball defender for Fox? Is Mo Harkless kind of in a trapping role?
With Fox, how much Doc talks about it, yeah, it seemed probably.
Fox isn't probably shooting particularly well from three right now, at least on the season from what I've seen. So I don't know. I think that does play into our strengths a little bit more when they can't punish you as much from outside, although, you know, obviously healed is a different story. But I think, yeah, kind of like we just hear about the matchup so much from Doc. I feel like
it's going to be a bow game. Yeah.
We'll see what happens. I'd like to see Mo have, I guess, a more visibly impactful game.
One of the things that sucks about Beverly being out, one of the many things, is that Heald's taken 10 threes a game. He's making 36% of them. So the ball denial on Heald's going to be big.
Mm-hmm.
I like a longer guy on him. Man, that starting point guard spot, that's a big question mark. What do you got? That was a little too ominous than I meant it to be. Last one real quick. Paul George versus himself.
Oh, man. Love this.
This could be a get-right game for his efficiency. The totals have kind of been there.
Yeah.
You know, like the total, like Lou said the other night, like the efficiency is not. I mean, he's still getting 20, but we were spoiled when he first came back.
Yeah.
He was getting like 36 points on like two shots somehow. It didn't make any sense. But so this could be a get-right game for his efficiency. What's your prediction for this game? Bit of a weird game, I will say also. For as much touting as we did, I hope you continue to listen, but still, I kind of have a bit of an uneasy feeling about it.
Yeah. I don't know. Pat out
is... Is it two? Which I don't like right off the bat.
Is it two what?
It's at two. The time. The time is weird. I don't like it. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, no, the timing is
there a rodeo after that they forgot that they scheduled? Like, why is it at two?
Is that customarily a day off? I'm not sure.
I have no idea. You think people would be the perfect thing to do before you go out for New Year's is go watch an NBA basketball game.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's your prediction?
Oof. I'm hoping this is a comfortable margin of victory.
Yeah.
117-105.
Clips.
Man.
I think we're going to see a comprehensive game from Paul George. I think we're going to see 125-103.
All right.
It's a big swing. I'm trying to convince myself. I'm putting the energy out there. If you have any idea of what you think is going to happen, let us know at Locked On Clips.
I love it.
At Will Uptuck, at Charles Mocker. I'll go back and forth. One more time. The game is at 2 p.m. After this quick commercial break, we have Twitter Tuesdays where we got some fantastic questions from our listeners. What's up?
Hey, hey, hey. It's Twitter Tuesday.
We have a bit of a celebrity first question from a celebrity listener out there.
Get a shiv.
Mike, the Jaguar Jaglin, longtime Clipper Nation faithful. Shout out to the Jag. Check out his podcast.
Hey, Jaguar.
Besides a giant Jrue Holiday trade, which realistic point guard options via trade or buyout do you like for the team? He listed DJ Augustine, Jeff Teague, Alfred Payton, Frank Jackson, Yogi Ferrell, etc. So real quick, I looked at the free agent point guards right now. Mm-hmm. There's no one in that crowd that's helping us.
All right.
There's just not. I mean, I put the salaries down. We got Teague is at $8 million. Alfred Payton's at $8 million. Augustine's at $7.5 million. Those were kind of my top three options. I just don't... We're losing...
I don't get what an upgrade Payton is that much right now.
Okay.
I like the idea of him, but like at $8 million, dude, that's like Lou Will money. Come on, get out of here.
Okay, well, I feel like you can't compare contracts to Lou Williams.
Jeff Teague. So I'm a big Teague fan.
Yeah. You're a Teague drinker.
dude, I'm drinking.
All right, I'll get out of here. I'm going to hurl myself on this one now.
The thing that's difficult for me is at this point, his defense, I don't think, is at a point where he's worth, where like you're clamoring to get him for $8 million a year.
And $8 million is kind of a goofy amount for the Clippers to match.
Yeah.
Zoo's at 6.5. Trez is at 6. Rodney's at 4.8. Jermichael Green's at 4.7.
Yeah.
And then you have Lou at 8, Mo at 11. So like there's kind of that weird jump. Like,
yeah. I don't know. And I just don't think...
It's a fair question. And I love the guys that he put out because these are like realistic targets where it's like... Or not real, but you know what I mean? Like, it's not a
DJ
Drew
thing. Augustine, dude. Like, he has some good games against the Clippers. So
they're keeping him, though. Like, they love him. He hit that shot against Toronto. Like...
Yeah.
They
should retire his jersey.
Maybe. So, at KingDJ1 through 2-4 wants to know if we're going to get Iggy. Oh, probably not.
I don't see it happening. I don't really know what's going to happen.
I said that trading Mo Harkless would be a panic move. Trading a first-round pick or something like that for Iggy would also be a panic move.
Yeah, I think so.
We're already at a dearth of potential picks.
Yeah.
Trading ours this next year would kind of... for Iggy, like... And we'd have to cut somebody.
And we'd have to cut
Which would
somebody.
Probably be Derek Walton Jr., which...
Dope.
That's getting me fired up right now. Bomber. Danny H. kind of had a tinfoil hat question, and this kind of ties into...
You know I love a good tinfoil hat.
This kind of ties into Jag's question. One more time. Shout out to Jaguar. Could the rumor Thaddeus Young secretly be part of a multi-team trade to try and acquire a player that fills the need of the team, such as a ball-handling point guard or a defensive center? I like this. I don't know how the dots connect or who would benefit.
Okay.
If somehow the third shadow team... is pulling the strings and getting people to report that we want Thaddeus Young so they can trade. I'm not sure who's trading to who in this scenario. Like we're getting Augustine, they're getting Thaddeus Young, and then the Bulls are getting Mo. So it seems, I don't know.
No, it makes zero sense.
I don't know if this is secretly part of a multi-team trade.
I like the idea though. I like.
I do like
at.
The clandestine nature of this question.
I would be impressed if they could pull something off like this midseason.
I would too. A disclaimer also to the listeners: if you're perhaps a new Clippers fan,
yeah,
maybe you joined, I don't know, the day after you heard Paul George and Kawhi came through, which is totally fine.
That's a great time to join.
You could have picked a worse time.
You're smart.
There's no real leaks. From the Clippers.
Yeah.
We are not going to know what happens until it happens.
Yeah.
Which is sometimes fun.
Yeah.
And sometimes a little heartbreaking and difficult to maneuver, I would say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a trade in the works. I absolutely don't believe that Mo Thad Young trade. I think that's maybe the Bulls trying to gas up Thad Young or something.
My thing is if we're looking for a defensive center, we already have Zubats. Like, isn't that what we're using him for?
You're historically not the biggest Zubats fan, though, on this podcast.
Like, isn't that what we have him for? It's sure as hell not for the finishing.
Whoa. Someone was mad at us on Twitter because they thought that we were too hard on Zoo's finishing. And I was like, we talked about that in the What We Liked section, and we said he did everything great. That was like the one gripe we had.
Yeah.
Speaking of Zubats, at Funky Stuff Melon, great handle. They just kind of wanted our thoughts on the Zubats versus Gobert matchup. I dove a little bit into it.
Okay.
It was kind of a cool matchup to look at. So the eye cast, the eye test from like looking at Zubats at the rim, he pulled off a few good rim challenges, like stoppages at Gobert at the rim.
I thought the eye test looked very promising.
Gobert still shot 4 of 6 when Zoo was his primary defender.
Okay.
Which, 4 of 6, two of those, like one of those was for sure a challenge early at the rim, yeah, which can help set the tone. But Zoo got off 3 of 4 on Gobert when Gobert was his defender.
All right.
So he was going tit for tat him in scoring wise. Boards, Gobert had 8, Zoo had 12. Zoo, other than that foul stretch, like,
he looked really, really good.
He's only 22.
Yeah.
Do you think within 3 years we could see play like this, maybe 4 games in a row, 5 games in a row from Zoo?
Oh yeah.
I've had a couple days to sit on it, and it was a really encouraging performance from the offensive standpoint. Especially because Trez was out. He knew he had to step up.
I was very pleasantly surprised.
I was like, damn, like if we locked him down, like that contract, I feel like still looks better.
Yeah.
Even than when we signed it, because it was still a cheap deal for what we got him. And I don't even talk about the Mescal thing.
He exceeded my expectations.
Yeah.
I was thoroughly impressed. Once again, another bummer that we ended up losing that game.
Yeah, there were some really great performances hidden in that game. Just want to get on my Zubat soapbox real quick. At CD Ron M, want to know if Noah could help his team as a backup 5. I think the team has already decided that. The organization, like, right? Like, because I do think maybe. I genuinely think for sure, maybe.
He could definitely soak up some minutes, especially.
And for a scenario like where Trez is out, it's great to just have that, throw him in.
We've had one game with a fully healthy roster, you know? It makes sense.
He could, yeah.
You know?
But it's just crazy because, like, the team doesn't seem...
We just don't have a spot, you know?
We don't have a spot. They don't seem interested. Brandon Baker had some game-winning questions.
All right.
He said, aside from the Lakers game, any concerns about the Stars' struggles to finish in close games? Do you think they're so worried about stepping on each other's toes? Before the Jazz game, 4 of our last 6 were decided by 6 points or less. We're 1-3 in those games. And this works well into Clipcast's question of if we should be worried about seeding.
Huh.
Shout out Clipcast.
I guess I'm going to take the second part first. And I think it's still maybe a little bit early to worry about seeding just because of how close everything is.
Yeah, like we've played so many more games, a lot of people. My thing has always been like if we're top 4, I'm fine. Top 3, obviously preferred. Second would kind of be ideal.
Yeah.
That 8 seed looks a little crazy right now. I think the seeding kind of worries go along with like the gel period being over with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Not out of the question to be worried about seeding, but maybe not the biggest thing to be worried about.
I just still think it's maybe a little early.
And then real quick, what do we think about Brandon Baker's question? I like that idea that they're still kind of stepping on each other's toes because they're still feeling things out.
I think that's definitely true.
And I'm not concerned about the struggles to close the games.
I think I might maybe also undersold the fit at times. You know?
Huh.
I think that to add two natural, like to add two superstars, to me, PG and Kawhi are still like the most natural
two alpha dogs. Yeah.
That you could add together.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And like coexist. But even still, I think I kind of maybe underthought just how fundamentally
the nuance
the process is working that in.
Definitely. I'm not worried about it.
I'm not.
That's the biggest thing. Is like there's no true concerns. My biggest concerns right now, turnovers, still transition, injuries.
I think the biggest one is honestly just turning into injuries, and that's,
yeah. Which is, you know, but we're built to deal with it. And I'm confident that we're going to.
It's still early in the season.
Starting with a win against Sacramento.
Yeah.
Coming up after this quick break, we got a bit of some shavings. Okay, welcome to shavings.
Hey.
We're going to start off on a bit of an angry note.
All right, let's get it.
So Jared Dudley did an interview, and he called the law. He was talking about how Blake was his least favorite teammate, and they're not cool anymore. He was talking about how Lob City was dysfunctional, which is all hot stuff, groundbreaking material right there from old Dutter Butters. No idea that the Lob City Clippers didn't like each other. Don't really have not new information.
No.
I don't really have a problem with that part of the thing, though. It's fine for him to... He was asked about it. That makes total sense.
Yeah, totally.
The candidness was nice. However, he did refer to them as being a bipolar team, which...
You know, I don't like that.
Come on, man. Like, that's a dickhead. That's just a poor choice of words.
Yeah.
You can call the Clipper... You can call them whatever you want. But the bipolar thing, I was like, dude, this is a real thing.
Yeah.
Let's
not be using that like
a mental health
issue as a slight.
As a slight to a team. Like, come on, man. Like,
yeah.
But again, truly groundbreaking material that the Lob City
Did you expect a higher level of wokeness from Jared Dudley?
No, but I just didn't expect a mental health jab.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
Our expectations were low.
Our expectations were non-existent. I don't mean that in a mean way. I just had no idea I was even going to have those expectations. But when I saw bipolar, it was like, damn. Ugh, that one just kind of like, damn, come on, bro. Thankfully, he didn't use the R word.
Get out of here.
An athlete did that recently. It was terrible. Oh, this kind of ties into Flower. This kind of ties into the Twitter Tuesday. At Flower Power 3234. Just had a simple statement.
Okay.
That is very unlike their username. But I had to put it in the notes because I kind of respect it. I respect where it's coming from. I don't maybe respect what exactly what it says. But Flower Power 3234, give them a follow. No questions, but a statement. Everyone needs to calm the F down. Despite not playing to their potential, the West is not as strong, and we're 3 games behind first. I thought it was a very blunt...
That's very level-headed, and I like
I don't know
it.
If it's level-headed. I don't know if that's the word that I would use to describe it. But the message behind it, I believe in. It's a, we got to chill a little bit. I spend too much time on Twitter, so I see a lot of insane reactionary takes.
Yeah.
The West is not as strong as people thought, which I think is a factor. We dropped down to the 5th seed the other day, but we've played 3 more games, a lot of teams, like... As soon as he asked this question, we were 3 game behinds first. There's been games right after we recorded this. We're probably falling now. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be okay.
It's absolutely going to be fine.
I'm looking forward to some Derek Walton Jr. minutes against Sacramento. I got to be honest on that.
All right.
Anything else? We got a couple minutes. Any other shavings in here? Oh, shout out to Lou Williams' daughter. She just basically one day wanted to give back to the less fortunate and homeless people.
Uh-huh.
And they just had it set up. He texted her. He posted on his Instagram. He texted her, like, do you want to go see Jumanji? She was like, yes. And then she was like, but I want to give back to the less fortunate first. Or something like that. And he was like, okay, what do you want to do? And she's like, I want to give him clothes. It's cold. Da-da-da. So he, like, called people at the Clippers and was like, can we get this set up? And they got it set up.
Wow.
And he in the video, it's great. You can go check it out on Twitter. In the video, it's great because he's like, I'm here to support. Like, he's like, this is her thing. Like, this is her drive.
Very cool.
Very cool. You love to see it. Lou Will, good dad.
I like this sort of tone that the Clippers are setting.
That we're like good precedent. People?
Yeah.
I would say we are... Not that it's a competition.
It's not a competition.
But if it were, because it kind of is in the NFL. They have the, there's an award for like the most charitable person in the NFL, which is the most NFL-ass thing in the world. Clippers is a team would be taking it right now. We're donating cords, backpacks, blankets. We have generational giving going on.
It's good to see a team.
That's fantastic.
A multi-billionaire. Give back to local.
Okay.
You love to see it.
Okay, come on.
You love to see it.
Lou Will's daughter did that. What are you doing? What are you bringing Ballmer into this for? It's a good team.
It's a good team.
The best way to get fans is to give them things they need.
Yeah.
Backpacks. It's a good time. I don't like your tone about the billionaire thing. Let the billionaire live. Now, this is Locked On Eat the Rich most of the time. But in this scenario, At least they're doing it quasi-right. What do we got for them? So for tomorrow's pod, we're going to have a recap of the hopeful victory over the Kings.
What you say Wednesday? Poll.
What you say Wednesday? Poll. Whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, we hope everyone has a fantastic New Year's Eve.
Oh, yeah.
Stay safe.
Please.
Look, use an Uber, use a Lyft. Come on.
Come on. That's a great pitch.
That's the only pitch I can give. Find us on iTunes. Check us out on Spotify. Check us out on Deezer.
Yep.
Rate, subscribe, do all this good stuff. We will read your review if you leave one on iTunes.
Yeah, please do. And if you haven't already, please subscribe.
Yeah, check it out. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
I'm waiting the opinion update. We appreciate you.